For this morning's devotional, we'll take a look at Romans chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, please turn there. Now in the Gospels, we find the I Ams of Jesus in the book of John. I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. But I discovered in doing some Bible study in Romans 1, the three I Ams of Paul. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Now, the I Ams of Paul are not statements about who he is, like Jesus were, but they're statements about how to view ministry to other people. So, join me in the Bible study that I've done on this. I enjoyed digging into this. Romans 1:14, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there's the three I Ams of Paul. I'm under obligation. I'm eager. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now the first one, I'm under obligation. The word here, the Greek word, is ophileo, and it means to be in debt or to owe something. It's the same word as used in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Forgive us our debts. Same word. So Paul said he had a debt. He owed a debt to Greeks and to barbarians. Not a debt of money, but a debt of the gospel. I don't know about you, but when I owe somebody something, I feel pressure. Remember the first time Elma and I took out a loan when we were first married? It was for $160. And we were in a panic. $80 down and $80 a month for 2 months. We could barely handle it. It brought pressure. And we don't want to have this pressure. Early on in my Christian life, I felt a lot of pressure to share the gospel. I thought that if I saw somebody across the room or another student, I'd wonder if he knows Christ. And I'd feel it was my job to go and talk to him. And I felt I ought to talk to everybody all the time. And then I got sick of that because I couldn't handle that. And then I went the other extreme. So that's God's problem. I owe him nothing. I don't want this pressure. So I ignored it. Or I'd say that's the pastor's job, or that's Josh McDowell's job, or Billy Graham's job, or the Jesus film, or those people out in Pasadena in the U.S. Center for World Mission. Maybe this is just for Paul. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know that passage, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But verse 18 says this, now all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And the context clearly shows of all of Paul's companions, all the Corinthians, we believers. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. I can't wiggle out of this thing that I owe people. People who don't know Christ. I was talking with Neil Grendheim, a friend of mine who's in our international missions department. He and I were complaining one day a couple of years ago about, you know, various things. Probably the snack machine didn't put out the donuts we liked or something. I don't know what it was about, but we were whining. And then Neil brought me up short, reminded me that there were perhaps 2 billion people on this planet that had never heard the name of Jesus Christ, and 1 billion of them can't even read. Well, we owe a debt to them. We can't just say it's somebody else's job. It's God's problem. God wants to use us. The conclusion I came to is I can't handle the obligation of saving them all, but I can certainly handle the obligation to do my part. So that was my application. I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians. The second I am, in verse 15, I am eager to preach. Now here's an obligation, and Paul says he's eager to carry it out. A few years ago at a Navigator meeting in Chicago, several of us stayed in the same house, fairly small house actually, and I was in the bathroom shaving one morning. The door was open, and the door of the next bedroom was open, and one of my fellow staff brothers was having his quiet time and praying aloud or in a whisper. And so I was curious to hear what he was praying. So I eavesdropped, couldn't help but. And he said something like this, O Lord, today as we go home, please let me share the good news with someone on the airplane. And I thought, well, that wouldn't be my prayer. My prayer is, O Lord, please let me sit in an empty row of seats so I can be by myself and get my work done so I can have a better attitude toward sharing the gospel. I went through a series where I was looking not for ways to share the gospel, but I was looking for ways out because I was so busy, because I had so many things to do. I thought, missed people. The word here, eager, is the Greek word prothumos. I looked it up in Strong's Concordance. Prothumos, in front of, and thumos means breathing hard or passion. So when Paul says he's eager, it's a breathing hard. There's a passion or an enthusiasm here. Romans 12:11, a little later on. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Never flag in zeal. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I flag in zeal. My enthusiasm goes down. It's my age. I just don't have the energy I used to. And so I use that as an excuse. I don't have to be excited. I don't have to be enthusiastic about the gospel. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, quote, "Nothing great was ever accomplished without enthusiasm." And that's true. Nothing great was ever accomplished without enthusiasm. So I've asked myself, what is it that limits or kills my eagerness to preach the gospel? A couple things come to mind. Number one, sometimes I don't know what to say. You ever been in that situation? The other night I was with my lawyer friend playing racquetball, and he and I are good friends. He doesn't pretend to even like Christians or God. And we had a moment there, we were all done, it was ready, time for me to say something, and I thought I should say something about the gospel. But I found myself hesitating. I didn't know what to say. So I said, "You ever heard of John Newton?" He said, "No, I haven't." And so I told the story of how he wrote Amazing Grace. I'd heard it on the radio that day. I said something, but I don't always know what to say to my friend. That limits my eagerness. The second thing is feeling I have to say it all. I've got to take them from knowing nothing about God to a point of decision in 30 minutes. I can't do that. So I don't know. I feel I have to say it all, and that limits me. Another thing that limits eagerness is if I'm not involved in non-believers' lives. It's very easy for Christians, and especially Al and me, to go through life and never even hear good cussing. We're around Christians all the time. And so we've determined that we will, on a regular basis, be with non-Christians in a social situation where we can just talk, become friends, and eventually share Christ. But if we're not in touch with non-believers, I don't think we're going to be as eager, because we don't know their where they're coming from and the pain they're in. And then if I'm not in touch with Christ, there's a fourth reason that my enthusiasm is limited. If I'm not intimate with Christ daily, my eagerness to share Him with someone else is limited. I'm under obligation, and I'm eager. Now the third I am is verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. When I was in college, I was quite a baseball player. And, you know, I didn't throw 95 miles an hour. I threw 195 miles an hour. And the Baltimore Orioles thought that that was pretty good. So they drafted me. And I was in the middle of a summer season in Pierre, South Dakota. Anybody from been to Pierre, South Dakota? It's a wonderful, it's my favorite town. It's my favorite state. I love it there. And we played ball games out there in the Basin League. It was a wonderful league, and there were scouts at every game. And the Baltimore Orioles scout came there the day that I had decided to quit the team and go to Maranatha Bible Camp to further our walk with Christ. This was all arranged. But as I was 6-1, and I led the league in strikeouts and walks, and I was having a good season, and I was drafted. And the head of scouting for the Baltimore Orioles came that day as I was going to Maranatha, took me out to breakfast at the Holiday Inn, the nicest restaurant in Pierre, with his wife, who was a beautiful woman. She was an entertainer. Another scout here, and I was on the inside corner of the booth. You know what I'm talking? You've been there. On the inside of a booth at a Holiday Inn, the head of scout, the wife, another guy, they had me. We talked about various options. And then they said, why would you want to quit in the middle of a season, possibly ruin a baseball career, and go to a Bible camp? Why would you want to do that? And I said, well, it's because you need a well-rounded education. It's because you need to learn about these things. There's ethical issues here that help people, and this would give me a well-rounded education. And he asked a little more and then dropped the subject. And as I left the meeting that day, I said to myself, I chickened out. In fact, that was one of the greatest chickening outs I've ever had, and I've had several. We've all had some chickening out experiences, haven't we? On Sunday morning, when I'm singing the hymns of the faith in church, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. On Sunday night, when I'm teaching my family devotions, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. On Monday, when a friend says, "You're different, tell me about what about you," I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But I'm sitting in a racquetball court with an opportunity to initiate a conversation, that's when I get a problem. I think the problem back in Pierce, South Dakota was because I didn't understand the second part of this verse. For it is the power of God to salvation. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. It's not me. A couple of years ago, I met a friend named Alvin. He's a poor guy, and he wanted help in his resume. I know nothing about resumes, but I said, Alvin, I'll help you. So we ate over here at Schlotsky's Sandwich Shop on the east side of town, went through the resume part, and then he just sat there. And I said, Alvin, one of the things I like to do, besides the work I do with the Navigators, is to help people, find out what people's spiritual journey is. Could I tell you mine? Okay. So I turned the placemat over, drew out the bridge illustration, and walked through my spiritual journey on that. Make sense? Well, not even, sort of. You ever heard anything like that? No, not really. He said, could I have that? And he grabbed the placemat and took it. It is the power of God. It wasn't me. I barely knew this person. I was taking a chance, even sharing at that point. It is the power of God for salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, it talks about Jesus Christ as being greater than the priests, greater than the prophets, the exact image of God. And in Hebrews 2:11, it says about this high priest, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed of us. I've been ashamed of him. That's a tragedy. So the three I am's of Paul. I'm under obligation. Have you accepted the obligation, accepted the responsibility? Oh, you can't do it all, but you can do your part. I want to accept mine. It's not the U.S. Center for World Missions job. It's my job. I'm under obligation. I'm eager to preach. I ask myself, am I looking for opportunities to share the gospel, or am I looking for a way out? Do I start my day with, Lord, who can I share with today? Would you give me opportunities today? Give me the courage today to take advantage of opportunities. Or do I not even think about it? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, it wasn't the right time. Well, his wife was there. It's too early. I need to be better friends first. Sometimes I found that's a cover-up for me for just being petrified and ashamed of the gospel. I don't have to be powerful. The gospel's already powerful. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for these three I am's of Paul. Help us to feel the right kind of obligation, not to have to do it all. We can't do it all. Help us to be willing to do our part. Father, make us eager to preach the gospel, not looking for ways out. We confess that oftentimes we don't even think about it. Help us to see the opportunities that you bring by every day. And then, Father, help us not to be ashamed. Father, we love you, but at times we get in the heat of the battle and we just chicken out. Give us the courage that we need. And Father, thank you for the power of the gospel. Help us to understand that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.